Good morning. This is Neil Strausser with the CBS World News Roundup.
We are similar to a superb athlete who has simply gotten out of shape. The American economy has an underlying strength and resiliency. With discipline and restraint, and with a willingness to accept perhaps some aching muscles at first, our economy can perform again like a champion.
At a news conference last evening, President Carter again pushed for the anti-inflation program he announced earlier in the day. It includes some $13 billion in spending cuts, an oil import tax, and tightened credit controls. Aimed, said Mr. Carter, not only at balancing the budget, but creating a surplus. He addressed other questions as well last evening, and Robert Pierpoint has the story.
The president predicted that by October of this year, the nation will have achieved a balanced budget, and then inflation will have begun to dampen. Then in 1981, Mr. Carter said he expects the present inflation rate of 18% per year will have fallen below 10%. He feels confident Congress will back him and make all this possible. On the American hostages in Iran, the president said he is not sure when they will be released, but hopes the current parliamentary elections will stabilize the government there and make this possible.
Our past few days have been characterized by bitter disappointments, because, in effect, commitments that had been made by the newly elected president and administration of Iran were not honored, because prior to these parliamentary elections, they obviously do not have the authority to speak and carry out their own commitment. Whether they'll have that authority after the elections are completed, I don't know. I certainly hope so.
President Carter also said that even though the U.S. Senate has not ratified the SALT II agreement, he intends to live up to the terms of that treaty, provided the Senate leadership backs him in this course, and provided careful monitoring proves the Soviets are doing the same. Robert Pierpoint, CBS News at the White House.
Returning to President Carter's economic package, the proposed spending cuts, of course, depend on the cooperation of Congress, and the major impact will not be felt for many months. The oil import fee went into effect last midnight, but will not be felt until May 15th when it shows up as a 10-cent increase in the price of a gallon of gasoline. Most immediate, perhaps, Americans may find some forms of credit more difficult to obtain under regulations authorized by the president and issued by the Federal Reserve. Robert Shackney has more.
Under the new regulations, banks, credit card companies, oil companies, and department stores are less likely to issue new credit cards or authorize new charge accounts. They might reduce the amount of money that customers will be allowed to charge, and finance charges could be increased. It'll be up to the banks and the other lenders to decide how to restrict the credit, but any bank or other lender not doing so would be penalized. The Federal Reserve wants limits on the credit that's extended through credit cards, through overdrafts on bank accounts, and through unsecured personal bank loans. The limit for each lender is to be the amount of money that was out on loan at the end of February. But the biggest part of consumer borrowing will not be affected by the new regulations. There are no restrictions under these regulations on loans for home mortgages, for home improvements, for automobiles, or on credit extended for medical bills, education, or utility payments. Robert Shackney, CBS News, Washington.
Democrats on Capitol Hill generally praised Mr. Carter's program. Republicans said he should have lowered, not raised, taxes.
My Datsun goes so far on one tank, I call it Camel.
It's a long way.
It's a long way to empty.
In a Datsun.
Know how fast our Datsun 510 uses gas? Our grass grows faster.
The Datsun 510 with the new NAPZ engine delivers more performance from less gas than last year.
Smart Datsun, very smart.
Datsun treats gas like gold.
Wow, it's a long way to empty.
What a difference. What a joy driving a Datsun 510 four-door hatchback. EPA estimated 30 mpg, 42 mpg highway. Use 30 mpg for comparison. Your mileage may differ. Highway mileage will probably be less. Either way, it's a long, long way to empty in a Datsun.
Wow, it's a long way to empty in a Datsun.
It's a short drive to your Datsun dealer for cars that'll take you a long way.
Republican Senator Robert Dole, back in his home state of Kansas, this morning made the formal announcement he is withdrawing from the race for the presidency. Among the candidates still in the race, the topic, of course, is President Carter's economic program, and none of the comment is favorable. Ronald Reagan indicated skepticism of Mr. Carter's motives.
As I say, these election year conversions where suddenly he's standing there, and again, it's like throwing the Russian brigade out of Cuba. He's going to stop any excessive spending, and he's going to hold the cost of government down. I wish he'd have done it starting 3 years ago.
Republican John Anderson, like Reagan, campaigning in Illinois, wondered whether Mr. Carter was just offering a placebo to pacify the American public.
I have a real question in my mind, and I hope that a more detailed analysis indicates that my fears are unfounded, that once again, Carter may have offered too little and too late.
Democrat Edward Kennedy also termed the proposals too little and too late and called again for a wage price freeze. But shortly thereafter, Senator Kennedy was speaking in shock when word came of the shooting of his friend and supporter, former Congressman Allard Lowenstein.
Once again, we've seen violence in our society, and as one whose family's been touched by violence, we deplore this senseless act of violence.
Kennedy cut short his Chicago campaigning and flew to New York to be at Lowenstein's bedside. He arrived too late. The 51-year-old Lowenstein, civil rights activist and Vietnam critic, died last evening of the wound suffered some 7 hours earlier. Walt Wheeler of New York station WCBS has more.
Witnesses say a former student of Lowenstein's, one who marched with him and Dr. Martin Luther King during the civil rights effort of the 60s, walked into the former congressman's Midtown law office Friday afternoon and then back out after several shots were fired, laid a pistol on a secretary's desk, and settled down with a cigarette waiting for police. Lowenstein was rushed to a nearby hospital with at least two holes in his heart. It was 7 hours and several optimistic medical reports later that a surgeon brought the news.
Just want to inform the press that we just pronounced Mr. Lowenstein dead at 10 minutes after 11.
Lowenstein's battle against the Vietnam War helped thrust Lyndon Johnson into retirement. When he died, he was working on Senator Edward Kennedy's campaign. Walt Wheeler for CBS News, New York.
The man accused in the shooting, Dennis Sweeney, has been taken to Bellevue Hospital in New York for a psychiatric examination. In a statement issued from the White House, President Carter said the senseless and violent death of Allard K. Lowenstein has cut short a life devoted to reason and justice. He was, said Mr. Carter, a passionate fighter for a more humane, more democratic world.
I've never had so much fun saving gas. Thanks, Dotson.
It's a long way.
It's a long way to empty.
Ah, the wonder of Datsun's 200SX Sport Coupe. Its fuel-injected NAPZ engine has the highest gas mileage rating in its class. 27 mpg, estimated top city driving.
27 in the city? Wow.
Wow! It's a long way to empty.
The sporty Datsun 200SX goes a long way on a tank full. EPA estimated 27 mpg, 39 mpg highway. Use the 27 mpg for comparison. Your mileage may differ. Highway mileage will probably be less. Datsun's new 200SX. Take one for a long drive.
Wow, it's a long way to empty. In a Datsun, we
to take you a long way in style in Datsun's 200SX.
This is day number 133 for the Americans held hostage in the U.S. Embassy in Tehran. And on this day, the vote counting is underway in the first round of elections for the new Iranian parliament that may eventually take some action on the hostages. In Panama City, in the meantime, surgery may be near for the deposed Shah. Martha Teichner has the latest.
Dr. Michael DeBakey, the well-known heart surgeon from Houston, has arrived in Panama City to examine the Shah. Late yesterday afternoon, the Shah was admitted to Paitia Hospital in Panama City, where he and his wife and several others in his party are occupying five rooms. Dr. DeBakey will work with a team of Panamanian surgeons to determine if the Shah needs surgery to remove his inflamed spleen. Because the Shah is suffering from what amounts to a form of lymph cancer, the normally routine operation could be dangerous for him. The Panamanian doctors are working with DeBakey apparently to accommodate Panama's legal requirements restricting doctors from practicing in the country without a license. The Shah is expected to undergo at least 2 days of examination before surgery could take place. The hospital intends to hold regular briefings on his condition. Martha Teichner, CBS News, Panama City.
Yugoslavia's President Tito clings to life this morning. The doctors reporting his condition without major changes from yesterday. But yesterday they reported that Tito has now also developed a high fever. A new record, yes, but more than that intended. CBS News Pentagon correspondent Ike Pappas reports on a feat involving two American heavy bombers.
Two U.S. Air Force B-52 bombers have made a 43-and-a-half-hour record-breaking nonstop flight around the world and along the way located Soviet warships in the Persian Gulf. Pentagon sources said the flight was conducted to show that America could project its military power to any part of the world. A reminder to the Soviets that the United States could move quickly to put down any further attempts by the Russians to seize territory in the Middle East. The American aircraft made visual and radar contact with the Soviet ships. The B-52s carried no nuclear weapons, but sources said they were armed with conventional bombs. The planes were refueled in the air several times during their globe-girdling flight. It was the fifth surveillance mission over the Indian Ocean by U.S. B-52s in the past 2 months. The four previous flights were made from the Pacific island of Guam. However, the latest B-52 flight came from Sawyer Air Force Base near Marquette, Michigan, and returned to the same location. Ike Pappas, CBS News, Washington.
Pope John Paul II today expressed his heartfelt sorrow for the victims of yesterday's crash of that Polish jetliner near Warsaw. 87 people died in the crash, including 29 Americans. Some 43 persons were injured late yesterday when Amtrak's Empire Builder passenger train derailed near East Glacier, Montana. Most of the injuries reported not serious. The train was traveling from Chicago to Seattle.